Thanks again for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Writer Joss Katsowitz is in the front row with Betsy Ross to discuss his new book, Sid Gilman, Father of the Passing Game.
Those of you who are fans of University of Cincinnati football may know the history of Sid Gilman with the Bearcats. If you're a casual fan, or maybe more of a fan of the NFL, you know Sid Gilman is one of the innovators of the NFL, but his roots really were here in Cincinnati. There's a new book talking about really how the game developed because of Sid Gilman. The book is Sid Gilman, Father of the Passing Game. The author, Josh Katsowitz, probably very familiar for those of you who follow UC football. He has written other books about the UC program, Bearcats Rising. Josh is with us on the front row. Josh, thanks for being with us.
Oh, Betsy, it's always a pleasure. How are you doing?
Oh, we are doing great. You know, Sid Gilman is one of these names that I think is so connected with the NFL even today. And a lot of people may not know that as so many coaches did, really got their roots in Clifton. In fact, there was a look back at the UC program, and the Cincinnati Inquirer called Sid Gilman the greatest coach in the history of UC football. This part of his history may not be well known. Talk about how he really got started at UC.
Well, it was at UC, but it was also at Ohio State, too. Mm-hmm. That's where he went to college there and coached under Francis Schmidt, who at the time in the 30s was very innovative and very successful, coming off of at the time, Ohio State football wasn't quite as good as we remember or as we think it, as it is now. So that's where he got his roots. He coached at Denison for a little while and then eventually made his way. Well, he was at the end of Ohio, too, for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then came to UC. You know, UC at the time and afterward was a program that was irrelevant, basically, in the larger scope of college football. And like he did at Miami, he turned that program around and did some really good things at Miami when he came to UC in 1949, I want to say. Again, turned that program around and it had its best success in program history for the 5 or 6 years that he was there. And it was the best UC had ever been until Brian Kelly came. If you talk to people who played with him at UC and saw his teams, the innovation that he brought to that program and to college football in general, you know, can't be overstated.
And it was interesting that, and it never occurred to me, but it's very true that so many of these coaches, legendary coaches, have written books about their style of play, their philosophies, things like that. Sid Gilman never did, and he was one of the innovators. Why do you think that he never, you know, wrote down his philosophy of coaching?
You know, I don't know. I think he didn't care enough. I don't think he cared enough to do that, to put the words to paper. I think he was so interested in continuing to study the game and to think about the game and to kind of innovate the game, even after he retired. And even after he retired from the NFL, he was still, you know, he would almost do these, I don't want to call them internships, but he would almost do these year-long stays at different programs and different NFL teams. He did it with the Eagles in the early 1980s. He did it with Pitt in 1987. He kind of went all over the place because coaches recognized what Sid could bring, even if it was something like a consultant. So he never really gave up the game, even as he got into his 80s and 90s. I mean, teams were still sending him game tape. The Raiders did that. The Chiefs did that. And he would analyze the tape and break it down and kind of get his thoughts and ideas about it. So, you know, I don't think he necessarily cared about writing down, you know, his life story, his memoirs. He was so in tune and so obsessed with football and studying the game. He didn't care about anything else.
We think about the passing game, and Don Coryell comes to mind, Bill Walsh, West Coast offense. What was it about Sid Gilman that really laid the foundation for the modern passing game that we see right now at the NFL?
Well, you know, at the time, and this goes back, and he did this in college when he was at Miami, and then when he was at UC, definitely began to kind of turn the tables on what had been kind of the establishment of football, which was running the ball and playing defense. And that was well established in the NFL, you know, up into the 70s. But when he went to the AFL in 1960, in order to compete against the NFL, they had to be innovative as a league in order to get those eyeballs away from the kind of the establishment to this new kid on the block. And they were able to do that because they were able to, you know, throw the ball down the field. And that's his biggest contribution, was figuring out ways to expand the field vertically and to expand the field horizontally. Now, a lot of what you see the West Coast, you know, with the so-called West Coast offense, is that you expand the field horizontally, like Bill Walsh did, spread those guys out. He did that, but he expanded it vertically too, where he paid a premium on letting the quarterback throw the ball way down the field and letting the receivers catch it. And up until that point, that really hadn't been done before. So you talk about innovation, and Sid was very innovative through most of his career, but really began in 1960 in the NFL. And it was because he had to, because the league needed him to kind of show and be the way. Before he died, Steve Sable, the NFL Films, had talked about the AFL and talked about Lamar Hunt, who was basically the guy who started the AFL, mm-hmm. as George Washington. But Sid Gilman, he said, was Thomas Jefferson. That was the impact he had on that league.
We are talking with Josh Katsowitz. He is the author of the new book, Sid Gilman, Father of the Passing Game. You got Dick Vermeil to write the foreword. How did that come about, having Coach Vermeil contribute?
It's funny. You talk to his former players, and a lot of those guys don't want to talk to you because they have bad memories of Sid. And Sid, for as innovative as he was, wasn't necessarily great with player relations. But when you talk to coaches about Sid, you talk to modern-day coaches about what Sid meant to them. John Harbaugh from Baltimore Ravens, mm-hmm. is an acolyte of Sid because they worked together in 1987 at Pitt, and Sid really helped his career. There's a lot of, you know, Steve Mariucci. There's guys all over the place who were helped by Sid and they have such a high view of him. And Dick Vermeil is one of those guys. Like I talked about before, when Sid coached with the Eagles in the late 1970s and early 1980s, that was Dick Vermeil wanting to bring him in. Vermeil was having, you know, the Eagles were pretty good, but he wanted he had more motivation on offense. Sit in as a consultant, basically, and Sid stayed for 3-4 years with Vermeil. And Sid's children, who were very helpful to me in this book, had been in touch with Dick Vermeil. So his daughter, Lyle, Sid's oldest daughter, Lyle, said, "Hey, here's Dick's number. Give him a call." So I called him, and, you know, we talked for an hour and a half, and Vermeil was great, and Vermeil went on and on and on. And later on, I ran into him at the Super Bowl last year, actually, in Indianapolis. And we met and talked, and I said, I'd love it if you could write a forward. And for people who don't know, it's when celebrities or quasi-celebrities write forwards, it's usually the interview, you know, the writer interviewing the guy and then writing down what he said and basically turning that into a forward. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. But then I sent it to Vermeil for his approval, and he said, "No, I'm just going to write the whole thing myself." And he wrote like 2,000 words on Sid. It was fantastic. Just a guy who really cares about what Sid meant to him and what, you know, Sid's innovation was. And I think he, like me, he wanted to get that out there and saying, "Hey, people remember Paul Brown. People remember Vince Lombardi. People remember Bill Walsh." Mm-hmm. Well, Sid was as innovative as any of those guys, but nobody remembers Sid. So this is, you know, kind of an attempt to paint Sid into the modern day football.
Mm-hmm. When you look at today's modern day football, as you said, it seems almost unbelievable that there would be resistance to, like, the spread offense, to the passing game. I mean, we have seen that innovation become, you know, the norm every Sunday that we see this. What was the resistance to it? Why wasn't every team doing this?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. You know, first of all, it wasn't macho. It wasn't a macho thing to do. And if you go way back into, like, the days of John Heisman, or today's of Heisman and Robert Neal in Tennessee, they just didn't think it was manly. They thought it was somewhat, you know, this is what girly teams do. So I think that perception, you know, as weird as that sounds, I think that's probably part of the reason why. And second of all, it was risky. You know, it's not like today where, you know, these quarterbacks are throwing up about 5,000 yards and so much of the offense is geared toward the quarterback accuracy. It was a risky proposition to do that. You had to have the right system. You had to have the right quarterback. You had to have the right receivers. And like I said, for Sid, it took him a long time to get to this vertical spread offense. I mean, you could see it a little bit in Miami. You could see it somewhat at UC. But he was still running, you know, T-formation stuff, which was kind of one of the big offenses of the day. And really, Sid was, like I explained in the book, Sid was almost waiting for the personnel to get there. And when he had guys like John Hadle in San Diego, and he had guys like Lance that all worked the Hall of Fame receiver, that's when he could really exploit, you know, defenses, you know, to what he wanted to do.
Well, was it Vince Lombardi that said when you throw the ball, there's three things that can happen and two of them are bad? And
yeah.
Which, right. There's a lot of truth to that. But Sid Gilman, it's a fascinating look at how he really developed the game, both college and NFL, into the game that we watch today. The book is Sid Gilman, Father of the Passing Game. The author, Josh Katsiewicz. Josh, thank you so much for being with us on the Front Row.
Always a pleasure, Betsy. Good talking to you.